Let me go ahead and say a prayer over them. Lord, I give you thanks and praise. Thank you for our worship team. Thank you for our children's ministries, for all these, all the families represented, all the kids that came to practice and worked real hard to serve you and to serve your people this morning by sharing the story of your son's birth. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. My kids, if y'all want, y'all can go ahead and come down this way, or you're going to take them out and around. They're hot. They're hot. I guess they're going to go change. Well, you guys just going to chill out with me?
Yeah, man.
Okay, sweet. I'm fine with that. I'm just going to use a mic stand. Well, give it up for them one last time. One last time. They did an excellent job. They did an excellent job. Also, it gives me a little more time to grab my stuff. All right. Well, kind of like I said before they started, can you imagine what it was like for God's people to have prophecy after prophecy of a coming king that was going to come and rescue them? And in their minds, it's going to be a king with a crown like Herod. It's going to be a big, mighty ruler. He's going to come put his fist down and he's going to save his people. But it wasn't quite that way, was it? This morning, my Christmas message, which I've promised some of you out there, is going to be short. Let's see if I can live up to that. My Christmas message this morning is, fear not, Jesus has come. Fear not, he is coming again. And like I said, I actually said this earlier, Christmas is all about waiting. This year at my house, we tried really hard to do nightly devotionals before bedtime to go along with the Advent season, the Christmas season. Every night we had an ornament and a Bible story going for the birth, the whole life of Jesus, and we're getting towards the end where Jesus is going to been arrested, he's going to be crucified and rose again, so we're not quite done with that yet. And at the beginning, Kenan was really excited. He was the wise guy with the watch checking the time. And he was really excited about the ornaments. He loves playing with the ornaments. I'm sure he's not the only kid that does that. So he's wanting to see all the ornaments and play with them. And I said, no, one at a time, one night at a time. And he said, why? I said, you have to wait. Christmas, I told him, Christmas is about waiting. Have you ever told your kids that? It's a dirty trick. You should try it. Christmas is all about waiting. And he said, waiting's boring. He said it like indignant, telling me, waiting is boring. And I said, you're right. Waiting is boring. But Christmas is all about waiting. The people of God had to wait century after century, hundreds of years. After the last prophet, 400 years, God didn't speak to a single man on earth. There was no prophets. There was complete darkness and no speaking from God to his people for 400 years before Christ came. They were waiting a long time. My main passages I'm going to be in this morning, which you just got the whole nativity story. You got all the scriptures this morning. We kept them all in there. We didn't cut any of them. So you guys got the whole nativity this morning. But I'm going to go back to Luke 1 and Matthew 1. And those are the passages I'll be in. Luke 1, verse 28 and 30. And then the Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. And I'll go ahead and I'll read to you that first passage. It's Luke 1, 28 through 30. And the angel came to her, that's Mary, and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That word favor is perfectly interchangeable with grace. It's perfectly fine just to say grace. Some translations will say grace. Since she's found favor with God, the angel tells her not to fear. Do not fear if you have favor with God. But if you don't have favor with God, if you're out of favor with God, that would give you cause to fear. That would give you reason to fear. An angel also visits Joseph while he's sleeping, and when he's considering how to deal with Mary, he thinks, you know what, he's an honorable man, he doesn't want to shame her and publicly humiliate her, so he plans to do it privately, And when he's sleeping that night, an angel visits him. This is Matthew 1, 20 and 21. It says, "But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" In this encounter, Joseph has the angel talking to him, and it gives us the answer to the big Christmas question. The big question about Jesus' birth is, why did Jesus come to earth? You heard the kids at the very end of the play, they said the answer as well. There's most of our kids here. You guys remember the answer? Why did Jesus come to earth? Can y'all tell I call y'all old people sometimes back there. Is that okay? Tell moms and dads, grannies and grandpas on the count of three, why did Jesus come to earth? On the count of three, y'all better get it right. Everybody listens. 3, 2, 1. To save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. And it's right there. The angel tells him. The child she's having is born of the Holy Spirit. He's the Messiah. He's going to save his people from their sins. This is the good news of the gospel. Everybody's familiar somewhat. We're all from small town Bible Belt America. We're familiar somewhat with God's law, the Ten Commandments, things like that. God's law, it's been broken over and over, time and again, since the very beginning. Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 to Moses, Abraham, all the prophets, all the followers of Jesus broke commandments, broke laws and sinned, all the way up to you and me. We've all broken the law. And I know what some of you may be thinking, I know I think it sometimes as well, I break non-important laws. I do non-very bad sins. The sins I do aren't even illegal. But I want you to view God's law not as a bunch of sticks where I've only broken two laws and look at all these other ones that I haven't broken. Think of it as a big glass sheet, and to sin once is to throw a rock into the big glass sheet. Once one law is broken, it tells us in God's word, all of law is broken. We've broken the law from the very beginning all the way up until us. This is why Jesus came. But the law is bad news. And the law has a message for you this morning. Are you ready? It's a clear message. It's an easy message to remember. Be afraid. You have broken God's law. We all have. So you should fear. And not just a respectful fear, but a fear of just punishment for sin. That's bad news. We can all agree on that. That's bad news. Be afraid. But the gospel message is this. The message that Joseph and Mary received is a gospel message. They received this: fear not. Do not fear. This is good news for the whole world. The law tells us to fear. The gospel tells us fear not. Fear not, because Jesus has come. Before Jesus came, God's people longed for a Savior, like I said, a hero to come and rescue them. We see this in the lyrics of the wonderful Christmas hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. It continues on saying, and ransom captive Israel. And of course, that's talking about God's people of old, but it's talking about us today. We're still God's people, those who trust and believe in Him. We still are held captive in physical flesh and bone bodies. We still need rescuing. And we are rescued, but we need another rescuing. We're held captive to the law, captive to our sinful flesh. Without this Emmanuel, without God coming to be with us, we are without hope. All of us, young and old, cute children in sheep costumes, grannies and grandpas, we're all without hope if this is all just stories. He came. Jesus came. He lived a perfect life without stain or trace of sin, and he died a death he didn't deserve. He did not stay dead, but he conquered death and the grave, and any who trust in him, even though they'll die, will live forever with him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Fear not, Jesus has come. Fear not, he's coming again. Another Christmas hymn that is one of my favorites during the Christmas season is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's one of my favorites. And in this hymn, you see, obviously, the coming of Jesus as a baby. But if you listen closely, you'll also see his second advent, his second coming, that he's going to come back again one day. Here are the lyrics to Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It says, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. Up until this point, clear cut. It's all about the coming of Jesus, his first coming as a baby, born a child and yet a king. But then this last part of the song, it's like we're looking forward now. We're no longer looking back to his first coming. We're looking forward and longing still for his second coming. It says, by thine own eternal spirit, rule in our hearts alone, showing us how he's poured out his spirit to us, and we have access to him already today. By thine all-sufficient merit, that's Christ's finished work in his perfect life and work on the cross. By thine own all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne, when he's going to come back and he's going to get his people who trust and love him and want him and desire him and know that they need him. Fear not, Jesus has come. Fear not, he is coming again. Kids, can y'all say that with me? Say, fear not, Jesus has come. Fear not, he is coming again. This is the glorious good news of the gospel. This is good news for the wayward, unrighteous sinner, the out-and-out sinner. Don't go to church. Wants nothing to do with it. Maybe you got drug here because you love your family. This is good news for you. But this is also good news for the self-righteous do-gooder. I'm sure I'm not alone in that one, am I? The person who checks all the boxes, who thinks, you know what? I'm good. I'm straight. I'm just fine. This is still good news for you today. We all are in need of this Savior. We are all in need of the tiny baby born in a manger. And I don't want to forget something very important. That for some, Christmas time isn't that as joyful as it maybe it once was. I know that there's plenty of people in here that it's a loss of a loved one, or maybe you have a wayward child or a wayward husband or wife or a wayward mom and dad that doesn't come to church with you. You're praying for them. Christmas time is hard. Some of you deal with depression and anxiety, and coming into a big group like this is a big deal. Christmas time is okay, but it's not all it's cracked up to be in your mind. Christmas is all about waiting, but Christmas is also, it's all about Jesus, it's all about waiting, but it's for the broken. Christmas is for you. Christmas is for your loved ones. Christmas is for your children. Whatever season of life you're in, whether you've lost a loved one recently or in years past around this time, or you're praying for a lost son or a lost daughter, a lost husband and wife, a lost mom or dad, or a lost best friend, whatever your situation, or maybe it's just been a while since you've really given this Jesus guy a shot, Christmas is for you. It's all about him. It's all about waiting, but you don't have to wait any longer. The good news is that his spirit has been poured out. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, we have access to the throne. We have access. We have access to favor with God. That favor that Mary had, that's why she could fear not. If we don't have that favor, if we don't have that grace, we have every reason to fear. But you're not without hope this morning. Go to God this morning in prayer. Run to him. Wayward prodigal son, wayward daughter, whatever situation you're in, run to Jesus this morning. He's not a baby anymore in a manger. And he's not dead on the cross anymore. He's a risen Savior. He is Christ crucified. He is the Messiah, and he died. And the good news is he did not stay dead. We live, we praise and worship and have faith in a living Savior. Amen. I want to read a poem to you, then I'll be wrapping up. This poem is by Chad Bird. It's called What to Expect When Mary is Expecting. What to Expect When Mary is Expecting. An uncreated God of blood and skin and bone, a Lord within a womb who sits on heaven's throne, the Father's only Son who'll nurse at Mary's breast, the ever-watchful King who sleeps on Joseph's chest, Creator of the stars with diapers on his bum, the right hand of the Lord who will suck his tiny thumb. That's it. I really thought that was cool. I thought it was cute, but I also thought it was insanely wonderful and true. This almighty Creator is truly above us, truly beyond us, truly over us. If anybody has reason to come and gloat, come and lord over us in a wrong way, in an unloving way, if anybody had right to be a dictator, it would be King Jesus. But that's not what he does. He comes and he goes through literally everything you've been through. He's cried the hunger pains of a baby. He's had to be changed. He's had to be taken care of. He's had to take first steps. He's had to have his heart broken. He's had to experience death, not just his own death, but he had to experience death of friends like Lazarus. Jesus knows exactly how you feel in this very moment, whether you're overwhelmed with joy towards God or maybe you're a little angry. Whatever situation you're in, God knows your heart. Nobody here else does. But you can trust him with your heart, because who else to trust with your heart than the Creator of your heart? Run to him this morning. Christmas is all about waiting. It's all about Jesus. But Christmas is for sinners. Christmas is for the broken. Christmas is for us. It's all about him, but it's for our good. So what I want to do, I'm gonna close in prayer. And it's pretty early. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It's pretty early. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. If you don't mind dimming the house lights while we pray. And feel free to pray right where you're at, along right with me. And I'm praying for you, whoever you are. I'm praying for you. If you're a longtime member of IBC, maybe you're a member at another church and you're visiting a granddaughter, a son, or a family member, a friend. We're glad you're here. I'm praying for you as well in your church body, that God would bless you as well. So let's pray. Let's go to the Lord this morning together. God, we come to you and we give you thanks and praise. God, we give you thanks and praise for your glorious good news that we don't have to fear. We just need to come to you, Jesus. We just need to trust and put all of our eggs in one basket, all of our chips in on you, Jesus. It's all about you. We need you. You are our only hope. Thank you for coming and being born. Thank you for these wonderful families here this morning, for all the children and all the families represented. I pray that you bless every woman, man, and child in here this morning, not just with general happiness that comes with the Christmas season, but God, that you would bless them with peace. Give peace to those who need it this morning. A good night's rest, God. Comfort them, Holy Spirit, those who need it, God. And if there's someone under the sound of my voice, God, that needs to reach out to you in faith, maybe for the first time ever or the first time in a long time, I pray that they would do that now, that they would repent, turn from their own ways, and run to you, King Jesus. That they can trust you for life, for godliness, and for all eternity, God. You came, lived, and died for us, all for us, because you love us and you want to save us, God. I pray that your spirit would draw us to your throne, that you would draw us to your grace. We love you, God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for all you've given me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my wife and my babies. Thank you for my church family here. Thank you for my mother for coming this morning. God, bless her and strengthen her. God, I thank you for all you've given us. And so all in Jesus' wonderful, holy, mighty, awesome name I pray. Amen. You can turn those lights back up. All right. Well, that is the conclusion of our Christmas service. I want to leave you with a blessing from God's word. Luke 2, 10 through 11 says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be for all people. For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" God bless you guys. Have a Merry Christmas. Hope of the world tonight for all mankind. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time. So lift up your voice and sing out his praise. It's Christmas, all is the King, rejoice in the day. It's Christmas, make a joy. The earth and peace divine, yeah. All of the earth rejoice, it's Christmas time, it's Christmas time.